The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus teaches us why we can give generously. Hiking this afternoon because of the temperatures has been changed. We're now going to an escape room. It means we're going to be working together. This is not with athletic ability, but with brains, supposedly, to get out of a room. The cost is like $10 to $15 a person. If you're interested, either let me know or sign up back in the narthex. We'll be leaving no earlier than noon because we want to give everybody a chance to get some food, and we'll be going over into St. Louis. If you have any questions, just ask me. Sunday school today, the book of Acts teaches us how to deal with conflict in the church. There's also going to be some, I think, kind of jaw-dropping statistics about the church's challenges and opportunities in the church today that we came across in board meetings this last week. There's an Everyone is Witness Evangelism workshop on Saturday, August 24th. That's just a little less than 2 weeks away. It's an all-day workshop at Zion in Muskoda. Lunch is provided, no cost, but it's a great opportunity to learn how to better speak about Jesus in your daily life. The information is in the bulletin, and you do need to call in advance to register, or you can let me know, and I'll get you registered. I believe council meets at 6:30 on Tuesday, and elders at 6:30 on Thursday. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Elders are Tuesday.
Council on Wednesday.
Don't ignore me. So the bulletin, I think, is wrong about one of those. I'm not sure which one, maybe both. Because I thought I was taking it out of the bulletin, but maybe I wasn't. But 6:30 is the correct time, correct? Okay. Voters, next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. I believe I've got that one right. Any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing this day and know that he will bless us as the Good Shepherd comes to give to us the Father's kingdom in word and supper.
Thank you.
Divine Service, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Kyrie, page 204. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household, which will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you were able to number them. And he said, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For the life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They never neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Apostles' Creed, page 207.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the Gospel for the day from Luke chapter 12. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. If you look at the bulletin cover, my daughter, the graphic designer, would say it's way too cluttered and not focused. She's right, which says that she did not inherit her design skills from her dad. But there's two things that this illustrates. Right from the text, a shepherd taking care of sheep and a Christian giving generously. And you might ask, what does a keeper of woolen animals have to do with Christian stewardship? Well, Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's the shepherd taking care of us sheep. And he goes on to say, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Well, who are the needy? How about victims of shootings in El Paso and Dayton? People who don't have the resources necessary to pay for funerals, for ongoing mental health care, for hospital bills. Give to the needy, Jesus says. Our synod gives us plenty of opportunities to do just that. I put out on the narthex table a little information page about Christ Care for Children, Kenya. I urge you to pick up that page and consider seriously giving. They'll match you with a child in Kenya who's in a boarding home. You pay $90 a month to help provide some food, shelter, and a whole lot of life lessons for them. They're learning how to plant, how to harvest, how to clean, how to cook, how to take care of livestock. And you're given information about the child and regular updates on the child. $90. And it not only takes care of earthly needs, but because these boarding homes are actually run by the Lutheran Church of Kenya, our partner church, these children receive regular Bible study, catechism instruction, an opportunity to sing in a choir. And if you've ever heard African children's choirs, it's pretty amazing. There's a chance to give to the needy, as Jesus commands us to do. A lot of unwed pregnant moms don't have much money. They look at their lives and they say, my only option is to have an abortion. Pregnancy care centers like Mosaics offer an option for them, providing some medical help, car seats, diapers, onesies, things that they need that help out these moms so that they can actually give birth to their children, bring them into the world. Giving to the pregnancy care center is giving to those in need, as Jesus tells us to do. Down in the midst of all of the economic and political chaos in Venezuela, Dave and Liz Maria Ernst continue to bring physical and spiritual care to some of the most impoverished families in La Caramuca. And when you help them, you are giving to the needy, as Jesus teaches us to do. So why is it that we don't all sell our possessions, auction our homes, empty our bank accounts, and give to these organizations that are doing amazing work? You know, we could make a huge difference. But why do we give, but just a little? Why? Isn't it because we're afraid? The economy is a little shaky. It's been pretty volatile, the stock market has. You know that things aren't going to last, so you want to keep money for yourself. Besides, there's going to be some expenses that are unexpected. Medical bills, maybe, or or things that the kids need, car repairs. We might need that money that we think about giving away. You know what? At the bottom of what's running all of this, we're telling our Lord, I don't trust you to take care of me. It's not that we don't have any faith at all. It's just that we have little faith, micro faith. This is why we tell God, I don't trust you, in spite of the fact that he has always taken care of us and he has never failed to keep a promise. You'd expect him to say at this point, I don't need people like this as Christians. I don't want you in my kingdom. You don't trust me. Instead, he says, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom so you can sell your possessions and give to the needy. Why? Jesus wants your money? No, Jesus doesn't want your money. He wants your trust. This is why he doesn't say, sell all your possessions and give to me. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Jesus doesn't need your money, but there are a lot of people in this world who need your money. People like those affected by the shootings, like families in Venezuela, children in Kenya, women who come to pregnancy care centers. And you might say, but we can't possibly help them all. No, but that's no excuse for helping none of them. And ultimately, remember, Jesus does not want your money. He wants your trust. Because your money can't take care of you. Your Heavenly Father can take care of you. Your Heavenly Father does take care of you. He has made you a redeemed sheep in his flock. The Holy Trinity has even branded you. He put his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit name on you to tell you that you are his, that he will never fail to take care of you. You are a lamb bought with Jesus' blood. You are in his precious flock. He even feeds you. He's feeding you right now. He feeds you through your mouth, Christ's body and blood. Right now he's feeding you through your ears as you hear that what Jesus has done, how the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, how he has given you God's kingdom. This is why Jesus can say, fear not, little flock. And this is why you can give to the needy lots. How much? Well, your Lord doesn't tell you because he doesn't want your money. He wants your trust. So your Heavenly Father does not make demands. He gives gifts, lavish gifts. He gives to you all of his forgiveness, all of his love, all of Jesus' sacrifice, all of Jesus' perfect life counted as yours, all of his heaven, all of his kingdom, and he doesn't hold a bit of it back. He says, here, it's all yours. And if he's taking care of us, then we can begin to take care of others. We usually think of what? 10% is like a really generous amount for a Christian to give, as though that's the max. Shouldn't 10% be more like the minimum for us when we consider all that our Lord does for us? Now, mind you, your Lord doesn't tell you how much to give because he doesn't want your money. He wants your trust. But still, Old Testament believers, for them, 10% was the baseline, and it went up from there. And they only had the promise of Jesus. We actually know that the Good Shepherd has laid down his life, that he has forgiven our microfaith, that he has delivered to us God's kingdom. How much more should we be generous? A lot of you have heard me say this before, but in case if you haven't, here's my encouragement. Set a goal, a percentage of your income goal. Let's say it's you want to get to 12% and you've figure out that right now you're giving them maybe 3%. Don't try to go from 3% to 12% all at once. It probably won't work for you. This will work. If you give 3% now, make it 4% the next year, 5% the next year, 6% the next year, until you get to the goal, 12% maybe. Now, mind you, this is a suggestion, not a requirement, because ultimately your Lord doesn't want your money. He wants your trust. Christine and I kept increasing our giving 1% a year until I don't remember what we got to, close to 25%, and then I got scared. Too many expenses. Not enough going into retirement accounts. Really, what stopped me from giving? Microfaith. I didn't trust my Lord. I'm afraid, needlessly. He's always taken care of me, even in lean times. So here's what I'm telling myself you've got to do, Bruce. And I pledge this. Give at least 20% of income to this congregation and to people in need. Why? Well, I guess because Jesus says to do it is a good reason all by itself, but also because there are people that it helps. This is a way of thanking my Lord, but ultimately it helps me. Why? Because when I'm giving away the very things that I think I'm going to need for now or for retirement, then I'm forced to trust my Lord Jesus. And that is a good thing. In other words, giving more can actually increase faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, our epistle said. By the way, the opposite's also true. With faith, it is impossible not to please God. And you, dear Christians, have been given faith in your Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what happens. Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock. The Father's chosen to give you the kingdom." And we think, "Yeah, but what if I don't give generously? Will he take his kingdom away from me? Or will he cause something bad to happen to one of my kids? Or will he cause me to get into an accident?" No, we've got our Heavenly Father all messed up. He does not punish you for failing to give generously. He already punished his own dear Son for all of your failures. Jesus has borne the consequences of your microfaith and my microfaith. You can give away every penny you have. I could give away every penny I have. We would still be sinners. In other words, you can't give your way into God's kingdom. He hands you the kingdom freely, every bit of it, because his Son, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for you. Now, your eyes cannot see that kingdom that has been given to you. As far as your eyes can see, you don't have God's kingdom. You have struggles and sorrows, strife in this world. I suspect that the Christians in Dayton and El Paso, Christians in Kenya and Venezuela, look around them and they say, "This is a hard life. I can't see God's kingdom." Dear Christians, do not believe what your eyes see. Your eyes can lie to you. Believe what your Lord Jesus says. He cannot lie. And he says, "It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the whole kingdom, nothing held back." Our epistle says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It wouldn't be faith if we could see the kingdom had been given to us. Faith trusts our Heavenly Father. And giving our money is a way that we express that faith and even force ourselves to trust the Lord so that our faith is increased. And ultimately, God does not want our money. He wants our trust. God wanted Abraham's trust too. God told Abraham, "You're going to have a son." This was hard for Abraham to believe because Sarah was past childbearing years, way past childbearing years. But God not only promised that Abraham would have a son, but that through that son, he would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, if you can count that high. Abraham cannot see how that promise could possibly be true, but he believes it, and the Lord counts it to him as righteousness. He believes it because he has come to realize over his life of microfaith, he's come to realize what his Lord has done for him, and he's come to something more like megafaith. He's learned that God's going to do whatever it takes to keep his promise, even if that requires getting his son nailed to a cross and damned to hell in order that he might rescue you and me, pay off our debt, and give us God's kingdom. So don't fret that if you give to the needy, there's not going to be enough to pay your bills at home. Jesus smiles and says, "Don't be anxious about your life. Look at the birds. In fact, even look at the ugly birds, the ravens. And look at the flowers out in the field. Do they fret? No. But God takes care of them because God loves the flowers. He loves the birds. He loves you even more. He gave his own dear son for you. He's given his entire kingdom to you
So every time that you start to have that microfaith that doesn't want to give, that's afraid to give, think of how your Heavenly Father takes care of the birds, the flowers, and you. Then look back to the cross and see how He has given to you forgiveness, mercy, grace, all of Jesus' sacrifice for you, all of Jesus' perfect life counted as yours, all of His heaven, a heaven that He gives you a down payment on every time you come and receive Jesus' body and blood. No, your Heavenly Father does not ultimately want your money. He wants your trust. But don't be afraid to give to the poor, whether they be in Venezuela or Kenya or at the pregnancy care center or anywhere else you meet them in life. As the bulletin cover suggests, give to the needy. Be generous in your stewardship. Even if you gave away everything, you still have, well, everything. Because you are a redeemed lamb of the good shepherd. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us His kingdom, so let us pray for ourselves and for all people. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by faith the saints of old trusted You. So deliver Jace, Jeff, Jenny, Leonard, Robin, and all Your baptized people from doubt and fear and error and pride, so that we too live as Your sons and daughters. Give us courage and a lack of fear to give generously, to speak to those who are straying. Bring back those in our fellowship who have gone away, Lord. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, feed the flock to whom You have chosen to give Your kingdom. Forgive and strengthen our feeble faith. Bless the preaching of Your word. Give to each of us a love for that word and a desire to learn it. Guide and grant faithfulness to our congregation and to St. Mark, Holy Cross, St. John, and Zion churches. Use them and us to speak Your message in our community and in Steeleville and Renault, Baldwin, and Bethalto. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless and use the work of all pastors, church workers, and parish leaders for our good and for Your glory. Be with those who are preparing for vocations in Your church. Make public schools also places where young people are taught moral character and prepared for service in society. As schools begin this week, we pray that in every place You would bless the work of students, teachers, and administrators. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, because we are weak and powerless without You, defend us against all our enemies. Watch over our nation. Be with those who lead us, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, judges, and local leaders. Grant to them wisdom, good hearts, and an understanding of right and wrong, so that they seek justice, show mercy, and govern faithfully. Teach our society to value life and Your gift of marriage. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, be with those who are troubled in mind and heart. Give them peace so that they're not anxious. Work through counselors, institutions, and hospitals to care for those who are suffering from mental illnesses. Bring comfort to those who are incarcerated. When necessary, grant them repentance, lead them to faith, grant their families patience and love. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, You know our needs before we ask, so we beg You, grant faith, help, health, comfort, and peace to everyone struggling in life. Especially we pray for those affected by the shootings, and for Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Hope, Ed, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, Sharon, and Nina. Remind them that You care for the birds and the flowers, so You care for them too. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, keep us from becoming anxious about our lives on earth, because what we accumulate here, we realize, is not going to last. Prompt us to provide for ourselves money bags that do not grow old. Teach us to listen to your word and learn it, to hunger for your son's body and blood, so that we never lose the treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Remind us that you have given us your kingdom, and lead us to give generously to the needy. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with gratitude that you feed and clothe and care for even us sinful people. Thank you for the healing that you have granted to Jeremy. Continue to bless Carly and Eric and their marriage. Open our eyes to all your mercies. Fill us with confident faith. Teach us to rejoice in your gifts so that, like Stacy, we fall asleep in the care of our shepherd and receive the eternal treasure that can never disappoint. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The service of the sacrament, page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. For with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. And yet, in your great mercy, You promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ.
Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Father, it's with pleasure to give Jesus his body, Jesus his
high above. Thankful hearts raised to God, thankful hearts raised to God, for He stays close beside you, in all things works with you. Faithful hearts raised to God. Jesus Christ, we humbly pray that we may feast on you today. Beneath these forms of bread and wine, enrich us with your grace divine. Give us, O share, this wondrous scattered loved ones home. Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly pray, oh, keep us steadfast till that day when
thank you.
mercy all creation shows. Christ, by whose willing sacrifice we live, Spirit, from whom all life in fullness flows, to you our grateful hearts, ourselves. Therefore thine we do, O Lord, we do it also.
It is the Father's good pleasure to give you his Son's body, his blood, his forgiveness, his kingdom. Go in his peace.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.